Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Monday, September 29th, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host, and I am happy to have you tuned in with me. Yes, I am. I hope your day is going great, and I hope you're doing well, too. I had a couple of, tense moments there before Patty came on and told me to get a new attitude. It was kind of hard getting connected with Blog Talk Radio today, but here we are and here we are ready to roll. And what I'm doing today, I'm continuing a series that I began earlier this year, The Will to Win, focusing on issues and answers surrounding domestic violence. Recently, many ears and eyes have been opened due to the high-profile celebrity incidences involving domestic violence, as you well know. And, of course, we all know it's a hard, sensitive topic to address and discuss, and I suppose that's why it has so many secret and hidden elements to it. But it's even harder, trust me, for those that are a part of it. And so today we will have a brief discussion with my guest, Barbie Brashear. She's the executive director of the Harris County Domestic Violence Coordinating Council, and she's going to share some insights and some important perspectives for us as we look at this again as a society and continue to move forward looking at this issue more seriously and more intensely than ever before. So I'm glad to have her here today. We're opening the book on domestic violence, a new chapter. Welcome back, Barbie. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Silver Ray?
I'm doing wonderful. I apologize for not being able to connect with you as I had said we would just a couple minutes before the show. I normally do that just to make sure everything was in order, and I was having a real challenge trying to get connected to Blog Talk today and had to switch to a different phone, and that was the key factor in all of it. So thank goodness here we are, and we're ready to move forward. How's everything in your world?
Great. It's busy. We're getting ready to kick off Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October, so just a few days ahead of us.
Yeah, well, we're right on time with all of this. Well, as you know, there's been a lot of news recently. There's a few stories that are in the spotlight, but there are many more that are not. But we'll talk for a few minutes about those that are one of the more recent stories, and I've got three or four that I really want to kind of point to as we have our conversation. But I'm wondering what you thought, and I'm sure you heard the news initially when the Ray Rice story broke. And at that point, it was just considered an issue of domestic violence if something had happened, and it was involving a high-profile football player. And I'm wondering, from your seat where you are, what you do day in, day out, what were your immediate thoughts that came to mind when you heard the initial part of the story? And we'll talk about what happened after the video. Now, when you initially heard the story. What were your thoughts? I mean, of course, it's always gut-wrenching no matter who it is, but what were some of your thoughts when you first heard that story break?
Well, some of my initial thoughts were around, sadness that this has to be played out in the public in such a way. I felt hopeful that this can bring around some great awareness about the impact of intimate partner violence. I was also not surprised. I think that, this is something that happens every single day. I think every 9 seconds in the United States or every 15 seconds in the United States, a woman is battered. So it's unfortunate, again, that this had to play out in the public arena, but hopefully it offers us some opportunity to really take some action and be more proactive in addressing preventative efforts for domestic violence and creating some policies and programming for that change.
Well, it certainly has generated more interest and involvement from people at many levels, and that part of it is of course a very good thing. I've seen so many people come forward to talk about how they've had their own issues with it, how they grew up with it, people who are advocating for support to help couples and victims, and so it's a great surge for the community of people and agencies and folks that need it. It's a wonderful,
exactly.
Wonderful surge. So that part of it, we are gladdened in our hearts about. The issue itself, of course, is just regardless of what direction you look at it from, up, down, sideways, it's still a horrific situation for everybody
exactly.
that's involved. It just is. There's no way to paint that picture any differently. Now, the
exactly.
next question I wanted to ask you, you said several things. I felt saddened, but I wasn't surprised. What
mm-hmm.
did you think when you saw the video? What were your thoughts at that point? Because I had a totally different type of feeling at that point
mm-hmm.
when I saw it, and I'm just curious to have you share what your thoughts were once the video had been released.
Well, I go to this idea of feeling. I felt sad that for the victim to have this played out in such a public arena and then have all the attention placed on her as the victim rather than, the person who committed the crime. The way that it's played out in the media, I don't think it's difficult to come back from and to think about and to have something that's so harmful, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, now in front of the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I think on a personal level, I feel very sad in that respect.
Yes, and I certainly understand. I do also realize that from a professional perspective, you probably have to offer me a different response than I may give to this issue.
Sure.
I saw a lot of things that were extremely disturbing to me
yes.
in that whole deal. And
a lot of it is, absolutely is disturbing.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna give you some bullets on that
okay.
and certainly you can respond. But I saw an exchange of anger, of course, between two people. And
mm-hmm.
then you see the knockout that's heard around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sitting there, literally my mouth just fell open. I'm thinking, oh my God, is this real video?
Right.
And then you see how she is pulled or dragged from the elevator, looking lifeless. And then I'm thinking, my mouth is still open. Is she dead?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm looking at the fact that I don't see And I'm not placing any judgment. I'm talking purely from observation at this point, not placing any judgment on either side. I'm just saying what I saw. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing any, oh, my God, did I kill her? Oh, is she okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is what's happened? You know, wake up. You know, I'm
right.
thinking something like that has to happen next. But it did not.
Right.
And so there she is lying across the elevator doors, which was a dangerous place to be also. And then people started to interact. And Mr. Rice became he just was a standby for the most
mm-hmm.
part as that happened. Also,
mm-hmm.
as I watched the story unfold, I thought to myself, these people around the world saw that one knockout punch. We've seen some other incidences, and I will bring that up as well, but this one just seemed to have that viral effect. But I thought to myself, people would be utterly, utterly horrified if they could see some of the instances of domestic violence that are happening all the time. That was lightweight compared to some. Lightweight.
Absolutely.
And I
mm-hmm.
think that society has to realize that that really was the case. And I don't mean
mm-hmm.
lightweight in the sense that it's not, that it's okay compared to some. But what happened to her and what happens to others, some stories of torture and treatment would just blow their minds. And
absolutely.
So, mm-hmm, and so I think it's vital for us to understand this issue is really something that we have got to tackle from as many directions as we possibly can, because it is one that I realize, as I spoke with you guys earlier this year, it hit me with such a huge impact that this is more
mm-hmm.
common than it is not. And I even think the numbers may be skewed, Barbie, as far as
mm-hmm.
1 in 6. I'm inclined to believe, because I've had several people confess to me that they've
mm-hmm.
been going through it. And I go, what?
Mm-hmm.
You? And so
yeah.
I want my part in this effort is going to be to help as much as I can people to understand that, and whatever we as a society have to do to help people get the help that they need with the anger
issues,
and that's on both sides. Get the
mm-hmm.
help that you need to understand what a relationship should look like, feel like, walk like, and talk like. And that's not
yeah.
even a part of it on any given day. Never,
sure.
ever should that be a part of it. And to help women particularly, what my position is, if you can feel strong enough, good enough, strong enough self-esteem to a point where you can look at another individual when you recognize signs and say, no, I'm not going there. I recognize some things in this person that could be detrimental to me. That's
mm-hmm.
not the kind of relationship or friendship that I desire to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in a woman being able to make her decision when she gets enough things in her own being and understanding right, that she can decide that you weigh your own well-being over what you think may be an okay relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I really mean that. When you get to enough self-identifying and what is zero tolerance for you, then
mm-hmm.
you won't have to find yourself in a situation where this has to be a part of it. That's part of my goal, to help that part of a womanhood identity understand that you have a choice, and let's try to make the best one in regard to these situations.
Excellent.
Okay, I know I said a mouthful. that's what I saw in that whole incident. Yeah. And I, again, just want people to know that that was one incident. What's going on constantly would blow you away. Everybody would stand up in arms to try to do something if they could see them all.
Absolutely. Well, and a couple of things came up for me as you were talking. And the first thing that came up was that what we saw in this video, it was an event, right? At one time, we saw an event. And so I was left wondering, what was everything that led up to that event? Was there, you know, was there a past history of power and control and violence? And I don't know, because I don't know about this relationship, but that's right. What I was left wondering. And then the other thing that came up for me as you were talking is the prevalence. And yes, this is a seriously underreported crime that occurs. So we know that less than 10% of victims and survivors will ever call the police or go to a domestic violence organization for help. So when we hear these statistics of the number of people that are being served in shelters and the number of calls that the hotlines are taking, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg, because yes. Most folks don't reach out for help. They're living in the silence of the devastating effects of power and control and unhealthy relationships and violence that's being used.
And I suppose that part of it, too, again, because it's such a, again, a common issue on both sides. You know, abusers feel a certain type of entitlement often to do that, and then the victim feels that that also is somehow or another part of what happens in a relationship. And so you've got some dysfunction that perhaps is, you know, been instilled or a person's gotten used to, you know, mm-hmm. on both sides, which, mm-hmm. you know, again, where do you go with that? You know, in my thinking, in addition to offering support and help, again, I have to go back to the I issue, the person, the victim mm-hmm. and the abuser both at some point have to take some responsibility, if not all
Absolutely.
Responsibility, in becoming a better, healthier individual in the entire process, and being able to move forward with a greater understanding, again, of what a healthy relationship looks like.
Exactly. Well, there's only one person that's responsible for changing the behavior of using violence in the relationship. And often we get confused around that. I think a lot of times people believe that they have the ability to help affect change in another person, but the only person that can accept responsibility and make the change for the behaviors that are controlling, abusive, psychologically abusive, emotionally abusive, physically abusive, the only person that can change that behavior is that person.
Yes, yes, for sure, for sure. I want to ask you a couple of questions about a few other people that have been in the news. First of all, do you get calls regarding other types of domestic abuse, such as the one that I'm sure you must have heard of, the story with Hope Solo, with the women's soccer player, about it being accused of attacking her nephew and her half-sister? Did you hear that story as well?
Not a lot. I've just heard a little bit about it. And mostly, you know, we do hear about family violence kinds of cases. Mm-hmm. In our world, but most of our focus is on intimate partner violence.
Okay. Because there was also that story with Adrian Peterson.
Uh-huh.
So in these cases, you've got, there's various areas, because I guess that was considered child abuse, but they're calling that incident with Hope Solo domestic violence. So mm-hmm. I suppose that it just depends on where you're focusing your
support. Well, it depends on how each state defines criminal behavior. So in the state of Texas, those issues fall under the Criminal Code of Family Violence. So family violence would meet that criteria. The other thing that I think is important to know is that there's a huge intersection between intimate partner violence and child maltreatment, as high as 60%. So in homes where there's family violence, where there's intimate partner violence, violence between the adults, there's often up to 60% of those families, there's often child abuse that's prevalent in that relationship as well. So there's definitely an intersection.
Yes, for sure. And it just, I tell you, the closer you look at it, the more unfortunate it looks.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
mm-hmm.
you know, it has so many layers to it. And again, that's why I'm so glad that there is so much greater awareness than there was, you know, a couple months ago, because I believe that so many people, and I guess that's just part of me thinking that there's something inherently
uh-huh.
good in people, that some people just maybe said, oh my God, I got to stop that. I'm not going to
mm-hmm.
do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping a great
mm-hmm.
percentage of people looked at it from a different perspective and just made a decision, you know.
Absolutely.
And realized that that's not, this is really not the way to live out a relationship. But so many are not. So let's talk about giving direction for people, Barbie. You're definitely an expert with what you do, an expert at that. I'm going to wrap up in about 5 minutes, so we are going to talk about what people need to do on each side. Let's talk about the victim first.
Well, I think the most important thing for a victim of intimate partner violence is to know that you're not alone. You know, we've talked about how often it's happening, the prevalence, so there's many people that are dealing with this as well. And to reach out and ask for help, and allow somebody, an advocate at the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which is 1-800-799-SAFE, SAFE, have somebody do some safety planning with you. Safety planning for staying in the relationship, and safety planning for when and if you choose to leave that relationship. It's critical to have, you know, someone on the outside kind of helping you think about that. What does that mean? What does that look like? What are your options? Safety is extremely important. And that person that advocate can also help you assess the level of risk. What is the level of risk in this relationship? Is it getting worse? And what does that mean for me? And how do I create a safety plan that addresses that?
Okay. And can we offer any assurance to someone who reaches out that they are going to get guidance? I know that there are often a lot of questions, you mentioned some of them, that need to be asked. Can you just offer some assurance that there are things that have to be addressed so that you guys can make the best decisions about giving your guidance?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, when someone picks up the phone to call the National Domestic Violence Hotline or any other hotline that's in their area, that person at the other end of the phone is a trained advocate who understands the dynamics of violence, who's going to be able to help you think about the level of trauma that you've been through. What are all the avenues, options, and resources? You know, do you need support from family and friends? Is that a good mechanism for you? Do you need a protective order? And what are the legal remedies? And what does that mean? Many people don't know about legal remedies and have a very challenging time navigating this big, complex criminal justice system, and advocates can help someone understand that and give them tools to make some better decisions about what are the right steps.
And
does
so
that make
what
sense?
About, oh, absolutely. What about the abuser? What if there's someone that calls and they let you know they need to get some help? What are you going to do for them?
Well, first, acknowledge that good for you for calling for help. I mean, that's tremendous. I think about it much like being an alcoholic. What's the first step that an alcoholic has to take in order to get help? They have to admit they have a problem. And one of the tools that we have in our backpack to help out with that is battering intervention and prevention programs. And for us in the state of Texas, we have accredited battering intervention and prevention programs. So these are programs that are proven to provide tools and re-education and information about how to not use violence, how to have a healthy relationship, what does that mean, to hold that person accountable for the kinds of power and control tactics that they have used in the past in their relationship, and then, you know, challenge them to let go of that and learn something different and learn how to be in a more healthy, balanced relationship with an intimate partner.
Yes, that's great. Well, I'd like for you to do two things before we wrap up. I just want to say thank you, and I do want to encourage anybody who is experiencing any situations of this sort to please reach out. I'm going to have Barbie give out the national website for information resources, and if you'd give out that number again before we wrap, Barbie, that would be great.
Sure. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE. And you can, it's 1-800-799-7233. And you can also access their website at thehotline.org. There's also NCADV.org, which is the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So I think if you even just Google national domestic violence, it's going to bring you to lots of different hotlines and resources and information.
Excellent, excellent. Well, again, I thank you for taking time out of your day. I know that there's lots going on, but this truly is a new chapter in the area of domestic violence, probably a more heightened awareness than we've seen in quite some time. And so thank you for taking the time to share your insights and your perspectives. I appreciate it a lot. Look forward to being back in contact with you soon.
I've been
on the phone and emailing with some great news for the Gift Bag Project that I'm so excited
great.
About.
And,
so,
and congratulations on your book. Your book is fabulous.
Yes.
I'm so excited for you. Good for you.
Yeah, this is going to be an amazing, amazing launch. So, again, thank you, and I'll look forward to talking to you again this week. I'll give you an update on things. I want to thank all of you, too, for paying attention. That's what a lot of what radio hosts are encouraging you to do, is just pay attention to what's going on in life, in the world, and all around you. And I hope that today was a good place for you to be to get some additional insight on this topic. I'm going to encourage you to go to my website at www.silverrayfox.com. Take a look at the Silver Bells Project. It's a gift-giving project that I have put in place for helping women who are in shelters to have some really nice gifts during the holiday time. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please email me at silverrayfox@silverrayfox.com. Thank you again for tuning in. I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Next week I'll be Master Your Mindset Monday with my BFF TV host, Cassandra McShepherd, and also I'll have another special edition of Will to Win. I'll be talking with someone who just survived domestic violence. Look forward to talking to you then. Have an amazing day.